Daniel in the Lion's Den. This chapter is based on Daniel 6. Darius the Mede at once proceeded to reorganize the government. He set over the kingdom 120 satraps, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. The honors that the king bestowed on Daniel stirred up the jealousy of the kingdom's leading men, but they could find no basis for complaint against him, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel," they acknowledged, "unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So the officials and princes asked the king to sign a decree forbidding any person to ask anything of any god or any person, except of Darius the king, for 30 days. Violation of this decree would be punished by casting the offender into a den of lions. Appealing to Darius's vanity, they persuaded him that carrying out this edict would add greatly to his authority. Ignorant of the subtle motive of the princes, the king signed it. Satanic agencies had stirred the princes to envy. They had inspired the plan for Daniel's destruction, and the princes, yielding themselves as instruments of evil, carried it into effect. The prophet's enemies counted on Daniel's firm adherence to principle for the success of their plan. He quickly read their evil purpose, but did not change his course. Why should he stop praying now when he most needed to pray? He performed his duties as chief of the princes, and at the hour of prayer went to his chamber to offer his petition to the God of heaven. He did not try to conceal his act. He would not allow it even to appear to those plotting his ruin that he had broken his connection with heaven. In this way, the prophet boldly yet humbly declared that no earthly power has a right to come between an individual and God. His determination to do right was a bright light in the moral darkness of that heathen court. For an entire day, the officials watched Daniel. 3 times they saw him go to his chamber and heard him lift his voice in prayer. The next morning, they laid their complaint before the king. Daniel had defied the royal decree. "Have you not signed a decree?" they reminded him, "that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" "The thing is true," the king answered, "according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." In triumph, they now informed Darius that Daniel, who is of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. A vain king's remorse. The monarch saw at once the snare that these men had set. It was not zeal for kingly honor, but jealousy against Daniel that had led to the royal decree. Greatly displeased with himself, he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver his friend. The officials came to him with the words, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. The decree must be carried into effect." Daniel is thrown in the lion's den. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." A stone was laid on the mouth of the den, and the king himself sealed it with his own signet ring. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. God permitted evil angels and wicked men this far to accomplish their purpose, but through the courage of this one man who chose to follow right, Satan was to be defeated and the name of God to be exalted. Early the next morning, King Darius hurried to the den and cried out with a lamenting voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" "God is able to deliver." The prophet replied, My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. The wicked opposition to God's servant was now completely broken. Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, and through association with him, these heathen monarchs had to acknowledge his God as the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel the same in adversity or prosperity. Anyone whose heart is set firmly on God will be the same in the hour of greatest trial as in times of prosperity. Faith grasps eternal realities. Christ identifies with his faithful people. He suffers in the person of his chosen ones. It is possible for the servant of God to be faithful under all circumstances and to triumph through divine grace. The experience of Daniel reveals that a person in business is not necessarily designing and self-serving. God may instruct such a person at every step. Daniel had like passions as ourselves, yet the Bible describes him as without fault. His business transactions, even under the closest scrutiny of his enemies, were found to be without flaw. He was an example of what every business person may become with a converted heart. By his noble dignity and unswerving integrity, even while he was young, Daniel won the favor and goodwill of the heathen officer in whose charge he had been placed. Daniel 1, verse 9. He rose quickly to the position of prime minister of Babylon. He was so wise, so courteous, so true to principle, that even his enemies had to confess that they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. God honored Daniel as his ambassador and gave him many revelations of the mysteries of ages to come. Even the prophet himself did not fully understand his prophecies in chapters 7 to 12, but God gave him assurance that in the closing period of this world's history, he would again be permitted to stand in his lot and place. Shut up the words and seal the book, the angel directed him concerning his prophetic writings until the time of the end. Daniel 12, verse 4. The prophecies of Daniel demand our special attention because they relate to the time in which we are living. We should read them along with the last book of the New Testament. The promise is plain that special blessing will accompany the study of these prophecies. The wise shall understand, verse 10. And the promise concerning the revelation that Christ gave to John is, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it." Revelation 1, verse 3. From the books of Daniel and Revelation, we need to learn how worthless is worldly glory. For all its power and magnificence, how completely Babylon has passed away. So perished Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. And so perishes all that does not have God for its foundation. A careful study of God's purpose in the history of nations and in the revelation of things to come will help us to learn what the true aim of life is. Viewing time in the light of eternity, we may, like Daniel, live for those things that are true and enduring. Learning the principles of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, at His coming we may enter in and possess it.